دارم پرچه که من آفریقایی هستم. دلیلش فکری است که ای پی دبلیو پی از الیمن شروعتی اون سومین شد. و دیفنتلی تیفی ایتونش کلیت خشک مونده خنیم کنی. ایتیک است فرار. دی ای پی دبلیو پروگرام از آس وایلک انجام. Ik wonder wat was die taak, wat was die initieerde, dat daar gevuld is, dat op een andere manier gerapporteerd moet worden. Met twee moeilijke alliantie, waar ik gezegd, die idee heeft gezegd, dat er vier departementen wat daarbij betrokken is. Wat betrokken is bij IPWP en ieder toegevoegd. Mijn aangeving is, voorzitter, dat ik misschien, ik weet, in de municipaliteiten wordt de grootste deel van jullie werken gedaan. Kan mensen misschien kijken naar de mogelijkheid dat daar die taak naar de districtsmunicipaliteiten geplaatst wordt? Ik zou iets zien, kom eens eens, ik denk dat is beter capaciteit. Bij de districtsmunicipaliteiten, wat weer die weermunicipaliteiten, kan niet als die daar staan. En aan de andere kant, terwijl die dingen aan de gang is, moet het misschien wissel van ons groot auditeursmaatschappij gaan aankloppen als deel van de sociale verantwoordelijkheid. Dat alle moeilijk met een model komt, hoe je die dingen kan overdragen, want die is het programma. Kan niet stoppen. Ons mensen krijgen baie zwaar op de grond. Dank u, chef. Ik wil het hier nog iets betekenen, maar baie dank u voor de geliente.
Baie dank u. Hier de achtbare Adam. Ik zal maar proberen de straat tot the Honorable Adams, amongst many profound points, pointed out that the functions of the expanded public works program is a lifeline to many communities. It's more graphic in Afrikaans, Lewensbrood, a sustenance for survival. And then she also went to suggest that seeing that the work of the extended program is a function of several departments, it might be a possibility to look at if the reporting function cannot be the work of district municipalities. And then she was arguing that they are better capacitated. She also further went on to suggest that isn't it possible to knock on the doors of the major auditing companies that as a function of their social responsibility, they should also assist in the process. Those are the point that the pedestrian interpreter could pick up. Thank you very much, Honorable Adams. Deputy Minister, anyone else from the department, an opportunity for a rejoinder to the comments made?
Thank you, Chairperson. And I think obviously once we've done the fuller report, we can also then reflect again on some of these issues. But thanks to the three honourable members who I think all began by saying how important these programs are and how, with whatever the, none of them said that, but let me add, with whatever the shortcomings and unevenness that we sometimes see in some of the programs, I think they are living through. They're literally, you know, for hundreds of thousands of South Africans who are, as we speak now, actively themes came through. The one of them is the challenges that I think particularly smaller or weaker municipalities encounter in general, and not just with these programs. And I think certainly we are very sympathetic to looking at an enhanced role for the district municipalities. And I think at least two of the three colleagues have raised that point, and we do. Also, all of our own research and also independent research says that where the programs work well, that's because there are dedicated staff in a municipality, in a line department, in a provincial department, dedicated staff whose responsibility is the expanded, our expanded work program, the BWP program. And where they don't work, it's because it's a side job for someone, and there's no particular champion at a local level. So I think all of those points are well taken, and I think we're certainly substantially in agreement. One of the interesting things is that those who continue to report extremely well and have an ability to do so is the non-profit sector, and you'll see when we get to the statistics. So that would be the community work program, and remember the community work program is funded through COFSA, but has national implementing agents who then work with localized non-profits, or the implementing agents. And three of these documents as slide reading for anyone who's interested that we've distributed on Mannenberg, Orange Farm, Bokfontein, and so on, I think really show that this is a very interesting model that can be scaled up very significantly. I think that we politicians, none of us present, of course, but politicians have a habit of over-politicizing some of these programs and therefore undermine precisely one of the key potential virtues of these programs, namely that they can build social cohesion and are not asking people, you know, who are you voting for, what is your membership card and so on, as a qualification. So, you know, we think that the community work program should be better funded than it is, and really has the possibility of scaling up very significantly. And it's an interesting model, not to displace other ways of working. We're not saying that line departments and provincial departments and municipalities themselves shouldn't be playing a role in this matter. I'm glad that the Honourable Sultani has directed here, and I think of reporting and it's laborious, it's complicated and so on. And I think, you know, why do we have this curious situation? It's partly because from the mid-1990s, by the way, public employment programs were a critical intervention in the 1930s, the late 1930s and 1930s, to address the poor white, so-called poor white problem, and were very successful, but because there were lots of poor whites, but they weren't that many whites. I think they had about 30,000, 40,000 people a year on the program, working on the railways, working in the forestry, working on roads and so forth. But quite successful. It was in the mid-1990s that it was basically the Department of Public Works that then revitalized the public employment program. And I suppose because also our name is Public Works, Department of Public Works, and then the assumption is the expanded public works program fall under us and we are it. And that is simply not the case. I mean, we do think we play, and we're happy to play a central role in this, but we can't possibly be the accounting officers for the entire program. Because it adds complexity, as you said, Honourable Sultani, to the requirements at a municipal level to report all the way up to some national structure on the stuff that you're doing, and doing well perhaps and so on. So instead of managing the project, you get encumbered with, you know, excessively complicated reporting requirements. Absolutely right. So we would really like, and if we get the chance to do some oversight, I know in the past this committee did some oversight on public employment programs, we'd like you to also help us to uncover some of these things. You know, we're spending money on reporting, not on work opportunities, not on community cohesion and so on. So we're concerned about it, but also if we have the support of the parliamentary committee in these matters. We definitely can and must, in response to the Honourable Adams, but I think also the others, do need to change the reporting requirements and how we report. We must report again. But who is, what is the level of reporting that we must report? We do think that there's some potential arguments that at the least the Department of Public Works as a broad overall coordinator should have ID, just the ID number of participants or other recognizable form of ID. But what we are doing is we're then checking it against the Home Affairs. And we have picked up some non-profits, okay, where in some cases it's very, very few and far between. In some cases we picked up that the same set of IDs are simultaneously involved in four or five different projects and events. It's fairly corruption, and we're seeking to deal with it and those responsible for it. Sometimes we're picking up dead people and so on. You know, things that happen in real life and the thing. And so it's important for us to have that safeguard, and we have it. But the idea that we should have certified electronic copies and so on, and that we should have attendance records sitting in Pretoria and DPW and so on, that should be attendance records, absolutely, but the reporting officers need to be at the relevant level and in the relevant space. So we are working very hard, and we think we will get support from the rest of government, from monitoring evaluation, from the accountant general, and from the Deputy President and the IFP. Everything from the Auditor General, once we've had a shot, we'd be meeting with the auditors that audit us, who come, by the way, typically from KPMG's and things like that, because they're contracted. But we haven't yet secured the high-level meeting with the Auditor General himself, which is what we're working on. That we want the Prime Minister and DG to engage with them, and we think we'll change. But if we can have your support from the side of the Parliamentary Committee, and also further observation, either from your constituency, or from your understanding of the matter, that would help. We have changed our APP because we set ourselves up a little bit in the way in which we describe. And so this APP, and I think we've reported on that to the committee, on the Expanded Public Works Program, we've adjusted it. Not to say that we are creating as DDW 6 million work opportunities at least by 2019. We said we have a coordinating, facilitating, championing role in the program. Chairperson, I think I've spoken too much. Maybe we should.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I'll indulge Mr. Honorable Tani for a second, and then we'll take the presentation, and thereafter we'll have the opportunity for further comments, questions, and suggestions. Yes, sir.
Thanks. I'll keep it exactly like that, Chair. You have got an institution called IGT, and I've done some work as social facilitator for IGT. You might want to check how they are reporting on the project is. I found it to be very exciting to check on their format of reporting, you know, as well as on the issue of the staffing. Check if you've got social facilitators, because those are the people who have got an appetite for reporting. And if you put it as a condition that before you get paid, give us your support, I tell you, guarantee you'll get those supports in as accurate a form as you want it. Thank you.
Positive and constructive role in the EPWD. We need to take the AG to have a look at at how the IDT is managed.
Deputy Director General.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Deputy Minister. The presentation that we have submitted eventually, it's a rather lengthy one with lots of detail. But we will in our presentation try to be as brief but as complete as we possibly can. We will address issues such as requested by the portfolio committee dealing with progress regarding the creation of work opportunities that have been reported. We will deal with the incentive grant issues, the support to implementing bodies, training, as well as the issues touched on by the Deputy Minister. The presentation could be introduced that the team on public works has supported us today on the Expand Public Works program. On my left-hand side, Mr. Ignatius Ariu, Chief Director, Infrastructure for the EPWP. We will be dealing with the incentives reporting. And on my right-hand side here is Ms. Carmen John C.J. Abrams. She will take us through the report and we will be happy to take these questions afterwards. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, honourable members. Morning, Deputy Minister, once again. Mr. Henderson has taken us through the outline of the presentation. In terms of the mandate, the Deputy Minister emphasized the role of the department and also indicated the role of the other lead departments as it was originally envisaged when the Expand Public Works program was planned. Some of the questions also brought some practical thoughts to mind of what we do when we coordinate, we monitor, and we evaluate. Some examples would be that we would engage the municipalities and we would sign between our minister protocol agreements. And to date, we've signed 276 out of the 278 municipalities. What we've also done is we've ensured that there are structures at a district level. And I've even provided, have some statistics here of which municipalities at a district level have coordinated meetings within their district to look at practice, for example, advocate practice, look at analysis of data, how to assist public bodies. So we are looking at how to create that enabling environment. In that same enabling environment, we look at how do we provide support to municipalities, for example, putting our data collectors in the municipalities, and such types of things. Recently, we've been involved with data analysis, where we've brought up the various public bodies to look at what it takes to actually collect quality data, where it makes sense. So we've been very much focusing on that coordination, monitoring, and evaluation function over the last period. But we've also said from the inception that this is a function that requires partnerships. And we then regularly engage all the provincial departments of public works. In the protocols, the roles of the public bodies, the public provincial departments of public works, are clearly indicated, which are to coordinate and implement EPWP in the province, to ensure that those targets that are set out, an enabling environment is created so that people understand which projects are EPWP, how to focus beyond the numbers, to look at recruitment, to look at selection, a whole lot of issues we expect them to be able to assist us with as public works, to ensure that public bodies implement the EPWP and report on the work opportunities, ensure that the implementation of the EPWP in the province is aligned to policies and strategies, and with phase three, we brought in quite a few principles, adherence to the ministerial determination, labor intensity requirements, contributing to assets that we have emphasized in phase three. This provides the target that we set out to achieve in terms of the 6 million work opportunities. We now in the 16-17 financial year, from a reporting perspective, we have finalized quarter three, and so quarter four will close this week Friday, and then we will then go ahead and produce the report for quarter four, which will then finalize the 15-16 financial year. The first column then indicates to us that the target for this year was 1.1 million, and this, for last year, which is 15-16, was 1.1 million, and then for 16-17, it's 1.3 million for this financial year. Then if we look at the progress, just noting what I said is that quarter four still needs to be released because the quarter closed on the 31st of March, and then they give public bodies a few days, 15 days, to consolidate and ensure that all final data is submitted. In essence, I just want to emphasize one thing. Where do we stand currently? If you look at the third column, and that's where the cursor is, we've collectively achieved 76% of our work opportunity target. As Deputy Minister has indicated, we've introduced new reporting systems to align with the AG requirements, and based on that, there was a transition, and it was introduced in quarter one of EPWP, which is obviously our busiest period. It's the quarter four of the municipality, and so you find that when a lot of data comes in, but you had no other choice. It was either going to affect somebody in some other way, adversely or not. And so we are of the belief that if the system runs a full year, public bodies receive the training, which they had over the last period, we will catch up on that number. But we are standing at 76% of the two-year performance thus far, with quarter four outstanding. If you look then at this financial year, where are the high flyers? It would be the non-profit organizations and the community work programs, and they've managed to achieve 103% and 107% respectively of their work opportunity targets. A detailed analysis will be undertaken of the various components, the sectors, in terms of how they've achieved. But infrastructure was 34%, 33%, and 25% for the social sector. We don't have to go in detail in this because it's just a summary of the table. And then this is the performance first year. I prefer to look at the table. So if you look at the table, this is a table that sets out the national performance. If you ask the question, who performs at the national, it would be your infrastructure department, which is the Department of Public Works only as a national department, with a few SOEs. We have the environment and culture sector, and that is where you get the majority of the Department of Environment, the majority of the environment and culture sector programs reporting at the national sphere. Social sector mostly reports at a provincial sphere, but that work opportunity target of 42,000 is mostly the Hare Gure program, and then it is a community work program and the NPO program, which is implemented by the IDT. And some of the members will be aware of the sterling work that the IDT is also doing in terms of the non-state NPO program over there. In terms of the performance, I think historically public works, we are busy with a turnaround in terms of what is required to be able to undertake EPWP. But if you look at the target, it's a fairly low target, 34,000. Environment and culture sector, the Deputy Minister indicated it's an issue of transition. They've got four systems. They need to now go ahead and get onto the ground, collect all these IDs. It's a massive exercise for them in terms of change management. Hare Gude, we've been working with them extensively over the last period. They've only managed to, this period they've only achieved 21%. Of their target. We've been working with them extensively, particularly to get their portfolio of evidence in our M&E session. We are hoping for a turnaround with regard to that. So in total, we've achieved 71% of the overall target, 310,000 work opportunities against 436,000. And so for us, the key emphasis for us to be able to deliver on this is focusing specifically on the social sector, engaging extensively with the environment and culture sector with the hope that they can turn around, collect the IDs, comply with the requirements as it currently stands. And then before I even leave it, one must also know that a number of programs in the environment and culture sector are programs that have been around for years. So they are programs that have the capacity. They are programs since 1995, for example, the Working Quarter, the Working for Wetlands. These are sound programs, and so it is not an issue of where the data won't be found. It's just a matter of the system in itself having to undertake the change management within the DIA. This gives you the performance overall of the municipalities and the provinces it puts everything together in terms of, if you look at the province column, it would be the performance of the infrastructure, the social, and the environment sectors at the provincial level. And then, if we look at the performance thus far, it's about 105% in terms of the Eastern Cape, so they performed well. But typically, it's because they do well on the infrastructure component. This slide also hides quite a bit in terms of the performance of individual provinces in the sectors. So, for example, if you look at this slide, would hide the fact that the Western Cape, for example, has achieved on the environment and culture sector figure. They've achieved, the Northern Cape has achieved, for example, on its environment and culture sector also. Social sector, Northern Cape has also fared okay. Limpopo has also fared okay. But in essence, this is telling us this is a bit of a worry. But when we get to the infrastructure slide, I'll explain to you how we expect to improve on this component. So 153,000 work opportunities out of 373,000 work opportunities, the municipalities. It is important to note, and I've been wanting to make time to actually go and sit down and say, the municipal figures are poor. But if you look, the targets for the municipalities increased quite a bit between phase two and phase three. So I've been wanting to do that analysis also to show that it is not only about municipalities just performing badly, but it's also that their targets have increased significantly because we've recognized that is where service delivery happens. This just gives you the analysis in terms of demographics at the provincial and the municipal sphere. The designated target is to achieve that we have women participation of 55%, youth participation of 55%, and then also persons with disability participation of 2%. One thing this does tell us is that the figures with regard to persons with disabilities have improved significantly. We've historically always sat at about 0.9%. And so there's been extensive engagement with SASA. We've engaged various NPOs to be able to assist us increasing just awareness when it comes to persons with disabilities. We also participate fairly well when it comes to women, you can see, but obviously the big concern is attracting the youth. And how we tend to deal with that is we try and design specific programs in which we are then saying, let's try to up these numbers. Also, you must know that there are certain programs that are huge that certain of the youth might not find attractive. So we would go to Indabas, so in Ukuruleni, youth Indabas, we discuss with the youth, demystify what public employment programs are about, so that we can say to them that they are viable employment opportunities. Working for water offers good working opportunities, where youth have an opportunity to just do exciting things, for example. This, for us, is a very important slide. And what we are saying to public bodies is that if you do not meet the requirements of the ID, certified ID, go ahead, load your participants. Because we need to be able to understand how much of the work opportunities is being held back because of the AG requirements. So currently we are saying that there are 30,000 participants that are unable to move from the pending list currently, okay? And the pending list gets cleared constantly. So once you have data collectors going to sites, picking up the IDs, being signed off to be able to say that this is the correct ID and verified, it moves off the pending list. But we are saying to public bodies, if you do not actually load your data, we are not aware of what is happening on the ground. It's impossible for us. So we don't want to use this as being a hampering part for us to be able to figure out what is happening on the ground versus what is in our report. So there's a total of 30,128 participants on the pending list from the provincial departments only. On the pending list, that is the breakdown, in terms of the participants on the pending list. So So once they get cleared, we then have the potential to add another 46,000 work opportunities that are happening on the ground but cannot move through because of the authentication component. Our system basically says that the ID needs to be certified from January last year, 2015. When we load it onto the system, it must be clear, the picture itself. So it's got quite a bit of requirements before you move on to the next component. So currently, those numbers can be boosted with 46,000 work opportunities. This just gives us the breakdown from a sectorial perspective. Now, if you look at the sectorial component, our biggest worry is the infrastructure. Its performance is mostly supported through the provinces. It is mostly your grants in terms of the PMRG, just the provincial road maintenance grant. Okay, and here our biggest challenge is the fact that we receive the reports that go to the Treasury, and the reports are saying to us, but work opportunities are being created, and the Treasury is accepting these work opportunities. And yet, when it comes to the system, we then don't see the numbers on it. So we are busy engaging at a level to say that if the accounting officers have approved the data and the data is accepted by the Treasury, why wouldn't it then be acceptable from an AG perspective to include that data? So there's an anomaly there, and the underperformance is mostly because of this juncture between the data. In terms of the environment and culture sector, we've clarified that it's mostly the national programs that contribute, and it is a challenge that is being addressed with the lead sector department, which is DEA. In terms of the social sector, our biggest challenge here is the Department of Housing across all provinces. So for us, strategically, we've been engaging with KZN, and we know that KZN number will change because we've gone down to the ground, had a two-day exercise with them in March, the 30th and the 31st of March. We had the 31st March and the 1st of April, we had a session with them where we actually went to physically go and collect the data. Something that we shouldn't be doing as the coordinators, but we are realizing that we are sitting in a rock and a hard spot currently.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give a brief overview of the EPWP integrated grant and the social sector grant. For the EPWP integrated grant to provinces, 100% of the allocation has been transferred to the eligible department, and the expenditure after the end of February 2016 was at 82%. We still have the report for March that is being consolidated. Normally the report is consolidated 15 days in the following month. So that's being consolidated, but we're at 82% by the end of February. The highest spending provinces in terms of expenditure for the EPWP integrated grant is the Eastern Cape at 98% and the Western Cape at 96%. That is at the end of February. Lowest spending provinces in the EPWP integrated grant, KwaZulu-Natal 64% and the Free State at 73%. And KwaZulu-Natal, largely the expenditure was due to the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport, but we've engaged with them and we think the report will be better at the end of the financial year. For the EPWP integrated grant to municipalities, 100% of the allocation has been transferred to eligible municipalities. The expenditure at the end of February was at 70%. The highest spending provinces, the municipalities, but we're looking at the figures within the provinces, this is Mpumalanga at 81% and Gauteng 77%. The lowest spending provinces in terms of the EPWP grants to municipalities is the Northern Cape 57%, Eastern Cape 61%. I think important to note for the expenditure for municipalities that they have up to the end of June to spend within their financial year. So if you take a straight line, they should have been at about 75% in terms of the expenditure. And then the table in slide 19 just gives a breakdown of the expenditure, the what has been transferred to the different provinces, and the expenditure to date at the end of February 2016. I think also important to note that what we refer to an adjusted allocation, because during the adjustment period last year, National Treasury adjusted the allocations, and basically what happened was that the allocations were reduced and for the provincial departments by National Treasury. Then on slide 20, it gives you just a table in terms of the different provinces, municipalities, and basically the municipalities have up to the end of June to spend. Straight line, it should have been at 75%. Some of the municipalities in various provinces are spending well, as you can see from the figure. Some of them are above the 5%. And so we're confident that they will be able to spend their allocation. For some provinces, it's worrying, like the Northern Cape and the Northwest province in terms of their expenditure. And the challenges being first in the EPWP integrated grant to provinces and municipalities, largely delays in the implementation of projects due to internal weaknesses in the public bodies. For where we have low expenditure or where it's below the norm, we normally write to the public bodies to tell them to explain why they're underspending. And a lot of the responses we've got are delays in procurement, delays in the start of the projects. And also in some of the public bodies, we've had delays in submitting monthly expenditure reports. And when we have delays in submitting an expenditure report, then it will reflect low expenditure. Then some of the measures we put in place, that's on slide 22, to ensure that we improve the situation to the different integrated grants. We're providing technical support to eligible public bodies to help them with the selection and implementation of projects. But also, we've written withholding letters to the public bodies. And in case of where they're not submitting the expenditure report, and then they're also expected to explain reasons for delay in implementation of projects. In some of the cases, we've gotten responses from public bodies and the expenditure has improved once they give us the expenditure report. In terms of the social sector grant, on slide 23, 100% of the allocation has been transferred to the eligible departments, highest spending provinces. For the social sector grants are the Eastern Cape at 93%, Limpopo at 97%. The lowest spending provinces for the social sector grants are Northwest at 81%, and Gauteng at 83%. These are reports as of the end of February. So that's just an overview of the two grants. Thank you very much. And then the next is just an overview of the technical support that is provided by the department in terms of EPWP, and the technical support that is provided to the different public bodies is customized according to the different public bodies, according to the weaknesses or strengths in the different public bodies. Largely, what we do as a department would help in the selection of suitable projects for EPWP, and then would help them in setting targets for those projects. On EPWP, would assist them in terms of facilitation, in terms of facilitation for training of participants where feasible. Would also assist them in developing of EPWP policies to assist in implementation. And largely, our experience is where EPWP has been institutionalized, where you have a policy on EPWP and dedicated officials for EPWP, you find those municipalities or public bodies performing much better on EPWP. So we're encouraging all public bodies to adopt policy and also to institutionalize EPWP. Also, we help in assistance in designing projects labor intensively. We also assist public bodies in training labor intensive methods of construction and reporting, and that is so that they can be able to implement the project better. And also, we are assisting public bodies in terms of reporting of EPWP and information, but like has been mentioned before, public bodies have to keep their records on site in terms of the information that is required. Just to say generally that the provision of technical support is constrained or hunters where you have low technical capacity public bodies to interact with, because our teams need to have officials within the municipalities they can be able to interact with. So when municipalities don't have counterparts, it is a challenge in terms of providing them with technical support. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, you may continue.
Next, we'll be dealing with the EPWP training component. This slide just provides the background in terms of the funding arrangements with regard to the department, with regard to the program. Just to emphasize that we've got a good relationship with the Department of Higher Education and Training. Over this last year, we've been emphasizing also over and beyond the Department of Higher Education and Training funding, public bodies should be putting aside funding for training. So we've been working with the various sectors, that's the lead sector departments, to ensure that they develop training strategies. And so the social sector would say to us, it is important for us to train, therefore we will put aside a certain percentage of our budget. At minimum, we expect that 5% of a project budget be put aside for training. So this part of the presentation looks specifically at the Department of Higher Education and Training funding. In essence, they give us in about 369 million for short courses, for skills programs, and for artisan development programs. What they say to us is through the MOA that we signed with them that they expect 22,000 people to be trained on the shorter courses. Then, if we move into slide 30, it gives us the breakdown of the target: 22,000. For skills programs and short courses. This MOA was signed in 2010. It will continue until 2018 once there is greater clarity on the CETA landscape and as the program we've managed to achieve 86% thus far. We've got two financial years to be able to train a further 2,959 participants on short courses and skills programs. Mostly skills programs now because we've moved over from the short courses. In learnerships, we've got 392 people doing learnerships. Artisan development, we've currently got 98 persons doing an artisan program. We will tell you about the details of the artisan program, but we are now busy with phase two. We will be taking in a further 71. All the CVs have been submitted to the MERCETA, but I'll clarify how that program works when we continue. This is the expenditure to date. And as indicated, that expenditure needs to be fully expensed by 2018. So we've still got a bit of time, but there's quite a bit involved in trying to get this going. We would sit with training providers, we would capacitate training providers on how to claim, for example. We've engaged with the FETs, we've engaged with more than 27 of the FETs, providing them with capacity support in terms of how to actually undertake training as per the CETA requirements. For the year 2015-16, we've managed to train 4,646 participants in skills programs, those of the learnerships currently underway, and 98 participants are currently on artisan development. We've also taken the liberty to actually highlight what people have been trained on in terms of the skills programs, and all the skills programs listed in the subsequent slides add up to the 4,600 participants that have been trained. These courses, what we do on an annual basis is the training section will go to the sectors and say to the sectors, please advise us what are the critical skills required either for on the job or that you see within the sector would be critical for people if they would possibly exit, you know, where there's a demand. We would then go ahead and we would ensure that there's no bottlenecks in the system. By that I mean we would engage then with the Quality Council for Trades and Occupations and make sure that the courses are registered and aligned. That's the new process is currently underway, that it's NQF aligned, that it's not expired. We would also ask the question, is there a service provider in the Northern Cape or in the Eastern Cape or wherever? And if there's not, we would then undertake certain partnerships with the various departments or with the CETA to actually have a capacity building session. In March, we've now capacitated 15 further providers in a course that is called Tokomelo, because that is a course that we find that is high demand. Sometimes Ms. Anderson says, but why are you doing this? And I said to Mr. H, but the bottom line is that expenditure is not going to move if I do not have providers. So I can put out a tender, but then it would be non-responsive. So we need to get involved in this entire landscape to be able to move the numbers that we have to. In terms of the learnerships, these are mostly partnerships with the agri-seater, and those are currently on the ground. Then in terms of the artisan development, and this is the exciting partnership that we have, for the first part of the artisans, it was mostly our funding at National Department of Public Works. For the further 71 that we'll be taking in now, it is the MERS-CETA that will be funding that component. What we do is we identify people that meet the requirements, and then they get placed on an artisan program at companies such as Mercedes-Benz, small companies in Tata, Freddy's Auto, all over the country are these young people being placed. Our key thing is to be able to ask who's going to take them up further, because some of these trades would be definitely required at the Department of Public Works. In terms of the audit issues, to clarify, the audits for 2015-16 financial year, the AG undertook the interim audit to date. We will be starting in the next period for the final component of the audit, so they will be auditing quarter three data. And the audit that was undertaken, which started in December, was for the period quarter one and quarter two of 2015-16. And this is the high-level summary that they found. No ID, copy of ID documents for participants, signed attendance registers for participants not available, employment contracts for participants not available, payment registers or bank statements not available, participants not reported, all of this. But what we want to emphasize is that we've gone on extensive roadshows. We've issued departments with letters, public bodies with letters, indicating to them their ministerial determination requirements. As National Department of Public Works, we've also gone to the various provincial coordination departments and have insisted that the Department of Labour official attend the various meetings so that they can continuously play an education role. Because the ministerial determination is clear, the public body is responsible to keep contracts, payment information, proof of identification, and attendance registers, all the documents that the AG listed above. In terms of the current system, data is captured by the public body. Captured data is then authorized by the manager in the public body to say this is our correct data. And once it is on the system, EPWP verifies that the beneficiary is data then with the Department of Home Affairs because of our partnership that we then have with them in terms of our MOA. But the Auditor General's view is that because we report on the work opportunities created, that we must take full responsibility for the figures. And as Public Works, we are not in full agreement with that. Now, when you state those first points that we started out with, it seems as if the entire EPWP, I mean, currently I looked a few weeks back, there was about 255 of the municipalities reporting. When you look at something like that, it seems as if it's all of them. What we're simply saying is, no, it's not all of them. And this slide indicates just the breakdown. The green indicates that there's nothing wrong. Nothing in terms of those four items were found problematic in the 45 projects that were visited. There were five projects per province that was visited. And we've gone ahead and we've put out the names of the public bodies. So if you look, for example, at the EPWP projects that were not reported to the department, okay, it is four out of 45 projects were not reported to the department. In other words, the AG goes in on the ground and the AG says, tell us all which projects are happening on the ground. The municipality then takes everything out and then says, but it was not reported. And so that speaks to that finding. Beneficiaries on the attendance register but not included on the EPWP quarter two data. 19 of those projects were found to be there. But what we're saying to the AG is, AG, you're forgetting something important. In quarter one, we brought out a reporting system. I have to physically go to a participant and say, can I get your ID? Can it be certified? So you will find that some of the participants would have passed the pending risk component. But we also showed you the data that there is 46,000 people in the pending list. So it does not mean that you were on the attendance register, but you were not in the final EPWP quarter 2 data. You could have actually sat on the pending list, but the AG does not check that. So if you look at this slide, it names and shames all the public bodies, and it simply, the number in the bracket says to you that in Mbashi, there were 4 beneficiaries that were on the attendance register, but they were not in the EPWP reporting system, indicating once again that they could have been sitting on the participant list. And you find that many of those have been resolved in quarter 3. So we are required to respond to the COP, the finding, and our response has been, but they are sitting on the system now. So it's not as if these people were ghost workers. The IDs passed the validation and they've moved through. So for many of those, we are expecting that that would then go ahead and clear. There are 2 worrying areas, and it's Mbobela and Nkomazi. And simply, there was no supporting documentation. Key issues there is that the contractor, and it's a whole story, because the bottom line is the contractors need to provide you with the information, and when we went there for our pre-audit visits, these documents were just not available, and so it is a public body not keeping the correct documents and insisting that the contractors give them the documentation. Now, measures to address the issues, we are engaging the AG, because we're actually asking, is this process fair in terms of how we're being audited? Particularly because public bodies are held accountable, particularly from a ministerial determination to keep the records in terms of EPWP work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I seem to be having the difference the weather, page 40 and 41. For instance, page 40, the last words are public bodies, and 41 is the EPWP. Thank you.
That's the slide that has been distributed to members.
Yes, Chair and other members, our sincere apologies for that. We have actually distributed those slides separately, because we thought it would add value if we could add those additional slides. Apologies for the confusion that we have inserted it into the main presentation. That is the context of that. Sorry.
Okay. You may proceed.
Okay. Apologies, members. Let's proceed then. Yes, so we're engaging the Auditor General on slide 41 to be able to say that the ministerial determination is clear that public bodies should be held accountable. We are also engaging the Department of Training, Monitoring and Evaluation on the formulation of EPWP targets in our annual performance plan, and much work has been done thus far with regard to changing it. The Department of Public Works will still be responsible for producing a report on the work opportunities, but ultimately it's the public bodies that need to be held accountable for these records that are not being kept. And as a coordinating department, our role continues to be to carry out site visits and also workshops with public bodies to ensure compliance. So for example, in the 2015-16 year, we conducted more than 1,000 project site visits to ensure that municipalities are maintaining the records as required by the ministerial determination. Program challenges would be the low technical capacity within public bodies to implement the EPWP, non-compliant reporting by provinces as required by the reporting system, non-reporting of EPWP projects, which therefore result in under-reporting, delays in implementing projects by public bodies, mainly due to procurement challenges or either instability of leadership, some municipalities being under administration. We know that the Northwest, many of the municipalities are under administration. Non-attainment of targets by persons living with disabilities and for youth, however noting that there has been an improvement for persons with disabilities. Non-attainment of the full-time equivalent targets based on the duration of the work opportunity. And then also the lack of institutional arrangements in public bodies. So what we've done over there is we've worked on the protocols and the policies, and for us the key focus in this next coming year is to ensure that whatever's been signed gets implemented, and then lack of dedicated human capacity to coordinate EPWP. In terms of the measures put in place to address the challenges, technical support is provided on an ongoing basis. We monitor the incentive grant projects. We assist public bodies with the collection of data from project sites for reporting. We monitor project documentation during the site visits. We assist public bodies to design and implement project labor intensively. Provincial departments are busy developing the M&E functions to ensure effective and efficient reporting. So for example, you will find that the Free State Provincial Department of Public Works in the Free State and set up a data center. Eastern Cape is also looking at a fully-fledged data center. Limpopo takes a strong role in data center issues. KZN in the same, but we are wanting to beef that up even more. So it is not only about the reporting aspects, but it's also about the collection and the oversight of public bodies. And then engagements are being held continually with persons with disability, and then we are looking at providing assistance to public bodies to institutionalize the EPWP, which is therefore asking the question, if you sign the policy, endorse the policy, if you sign the protocol, what is happening on the ground? If you have not endorsed the policy, how do we get you to endorse the policy as the council of the municipality? Thank you very much.
If I may just summarize then, we have presented a lot of data. What we have also brought with and distributed for members' benefit was two additional sets of documents. One, the Deputy Minister has referred to already, speaking to the different initiatives in the community work program and the good work that's being done there. And we have also taken the liberty, because we think it adds value when we when we look beyond the numbers, to include information with regards to what's happening in the Northern Cape, Free State, and the Northwest, and examples of how communities perceive what is happening in EPWP. We didn't speak to those documents, but we have distributed here for the benefit of the portfolio committee members.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I'll now avail the opportunity to you for comments, questions. Let's start with Honourable Kwala Barnett, followed by Honourable Sultani.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Some of these are just for clarity, but others perhaps need a more in-depth explanation than was possibly given in the presentation. I'm quite stunned at the low percentage the social sector has achieved in the past year. Targets, well, they only got 25%. I would have thought the social sector was one of those areas most in need in this regard. Perhaps you could explain what's happening there. Looking overall at the percentage achievements, in some of the areas, really if it was an exam, the department would have failed. With the infrastructure sector, for example, having the absolute lowest of 19% in terms of their target, again, explanations needed. In the provinces, in terms of expenditure, they only reached 34%, with the Northwest Province just 15%. What is happening there? Is it failures at the provincial level? And you know, we're seeing the highest spend in the Eastern Cape and Western Cape, lowest in Northwest and KZN. But surely it can't all be put down to delays in development. I'm starting to get the kind of dog ate my homework thing from that. So perhaps further explanation there. In terms of the integrated grant, is the unspent amount at the end of each fiscus then returned to the department annually, and who's responsible for that? In terms of the monies granted from the Department of Higher Education and Training, the $362 million, how does this relate in terms of cost per head for students? It looks like about 16, heading for 16,500 per learner, but you were actually 3,449 students short. So do you have a set figure that you spend per trainee, and then if it's not spent, does it go back to the department? But then again, it's very difficult to tell because in your skills program, the details on slide 53, there's no indication of the duration of the courses. Now, I mean, I've been on HIV/AIDS courses that last a single day, or, I mean, the national certificates here, I presume, are for a year. So it's very hard to compare. It's like apples and oranges here, perhaps a parity. And finally, on the audit issues, you know, to read targets are being formulated now and you're engaging with the Auditor General now, but the EPWP project was launched in 2004. So I find it very difficult to understand how you're still having difficulties in this regard. And finally, if an individual takes on an EPWP work opportunity for, say, 3 months or 6 months, they tend to last different lengths, and that person is receiving various government grants, unemployment grants or child grants, all of the grants that go to individuals who are unemployed, does the income earned for the 3 months, 6 months, whatever the duration is, result in the grants being stopped for those months, or are they now being paid twice? Thank you.
Thank you, Member. Honourable Member Susan.
Finish. Thank you, Chairperson. Characteristic of me, I'll start with something which is not reflected in the report. But I know that this is something that I asked the department to mull over a little over a year ago, and that is whether your graduates are assisted after training to be able to start up own businesses, or alternatively we assist them to place them on the database of the Department of Labor to say, we've got so and so, he's got these qualifications, and he would potentially be employable elsewhere. That would be a way of getting them out of the system and making sure that they don't have a reason to come back, you know, for another take on the EPWP program. Now, looking at the contents on page 11, you report on women, I'm not one of them. On youth, I'm not one of them. Disabled, I don't belong there. Where is the report on men under gender? It looks like men are being treated as just other citizens. There is not even a mention of men. And I know it's not the first time I query this. Actually, we had a long discussion in 2014 on this. I was never convinced by the argument. Jails are full of men. And one of the alleged reasons is that they lack employment. So they go on what is called wealth distribution of their own type. Where is the report on men in this whole mix? Number two, still on page 11, how are you going to restructure the program to make it attractive to you, given your reporting that you find less figures of youth, or you've got less involvement by the youth? You could restructure it in such a manner that you know, you find it attractive for them to apply and participate in it. Feel challenged to go into that exercise. And page 12, the comparative figures here give one a sense that in some provinces there is less participation than in others, compared to Eastern Cape with Gauteng. why is this the case when we know that the Eastern Cape, Australia has finished on the Eastern Cape in the next phase, if I remember well. Eastern Cape is reported to be having as high an unemployment figure for the youth as around 42-45%. Why does this program seem to be less attractive to them? Is it perhaps because of the nature of what the program offers, or what is it? You know, on page 32, there are four provinces there where there appears to be no learnership programs. You know, any explanation for that has not been voluntarily offered. So obviously, we would want to know. Pages 33 and 34. Most of your skills training is social in nature, and as such, in the private sector, there would be less demand for it. I see there is construction and so on, as well as agricultural. Now, where my concern there is that in these days of a depressed economy, the private sector would hardly be a target that one would look at to absorb your graduates. And how can you modify the program such that your graduates, a good percentage of your graduates are people who can walk out of your training rooms with the certificates, hopefully of competency rather than attendance, and be able to start up their own businesses? This is linked to the very first question. That's why I said, most of these, if you look at them, they are either agricultural or social in nature. And in depressed times, the private sector will have very little, employment for people who offer social services as such. I'm looking, Chairperson, at this program as an enabler for the graduates to be able to either go and start up their own businesses or something like that. Otherwise, you get this temptation whereby people keep chewing, rejoining to get employment, And that's why I'm asking this question in this particular part of the report. Otherwise, we welcome the report. It helps us to fill challenges and things as to how we can create work for the unemployed men.
Thank you very much for that manly representation. Motompedi Me Kopani.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I've been covered by my colleagues in many questions that I wanted to ask. Chair, mine is about the challenges that have been highlighted here in terms of the EPWP integrated grant to provinces and municipalities. It has been clearly being highlighted what are the challenges. And what I like also, the department also tried to highlight how they try to assist both municipalities and the province. But my question is, Chair, because here they give us a detailed provision of how they provide technical skills on EPWP. But my question is, what is it that they do extra if all this has been implemented to assist the public body and nothing is changing? What is it? What else do they do if they try to assist all the provinces and the municipalities but nothing is changing? My other question, Chair, if we look into the country now, the level of unemployment and the economy that is not growing, if you look in terms of slide 36, the Artisan Development Program, we only managed to have about 98. And at the bottom, if you check automated electrician, only one person there. The entire country, people are looking for jobs, they are looking for skills. Why the number is so low in terms of if you compare what is happening in the country? My other question, Chair, I hear that they identify other companies where this artisan development program is taking place. Is there any incentives that are given to these big companies so that they can take more people to be part of this artisan development program? And what are the chances
after they've done all development programs to be employed by those companies or other companies elsewhere in the country. I think, Chair, I'm covered. Other questions I can ask?
Thank you very much, Honorable Kopani. Honorable Adams, followed by Honorable Mayor Matiela, and then I'll revert to you again, Honorable Colaban.
Thank you for the gelegenheid. Ik ga maar weer in Afrikaans praten. Ik dank je voor de tegenwoordig met bij je goed zijn, maar. Ze
zullen zij proberen het beste te
doen. Jy sê dan in die lig van die feit dat die DM gesê daar sekere challenges ten opsigte van die rapportering soos dit die AGC. Gaan dit nie die mandaat van die departement raak nie, want hulle is verantwoordelik, ek wil dit lees daar op die slide 3. Overall to provide an oversight role in the creation of work opportunities. As daar nou iemand anders die rapporterende persoon is, gaan het die hele mandaat raak. Dit is maar net so tussen haakjes gevraagd, Jefferson. En dan wil ek aansluit wat by die agbare Fortani gepraat het rondom die afbreking van werksgeleenthede, slide 11. They reported on that 69.9% were women participants. I would like them to give me a definition. Women in biological, are these women older than 35 years old? And youth, does the number of youth, does it include girls also? In Jefferson on slide 20, with regards to the integrated grant from municipalities, you said these are the numbers as at 29 February 2016. Now we've mentioned here, we've seen here that there are three provinces that in my view underspend thus far. Because after February we have only 4 months left. And if I take my province, Northern Cape, they have spent at the end of February 58% of the integrated grant. Maak het hier met een bekie bekommer te Jefferson. Want in uitgangsstand they have only spent 57% of their grant. That leaves them with a 43% to spend in 4 months. And just ask the Jefferson. And then, Jefferson on slide, in our notes, slide 41, that measures put in place to address challenges. The presenter said, the last bullet, assistance provided to public bodies to develop policies. Shouldn't it be better, Jefferson, if there was a standardized policy so that each public body just align with their mandate so that all the policies are the same and only they verify with regard to their mandate. So that they issue the thing that to develop. You don't think that's fair. And we don't have time. And then the very last one, the Honorable Sultani covered me a bit on that. And that was on the skills development. On our slide 36, 98 artisan development programs. Can they, how do they go about to get these artisans? Can they give us a provincial breakdown? And Jefferson, these artisans, are they now self-employed? Are they taken up in the public sector? And why are the some numbers, as the Honorable Fontani asked, are so low. And I know, Jefferson, that in the automobile, that water maatskappye have training programs, but I just like to know, is there official MEO use between the department and these motor establishments? And is it only where these Wali motor maatskappye high specialists, for example, the Eternach and the Tritonia of Hanel Amtwit om partisans te kry? Dan die Jefferson is jammer, ek nou nie my Engels verstande vandag kan verstaan. Dankie, Jefferson.
Ek moet eers net die eerste punt in Afrikaans gemaak, daarna het jy maar visjes gespoeg. The Honorable Member, the first point made was that if the mandate, there was mandate creep in regard to the Department of Public Works, would that not affect it if other departments were report on various issues? Still speaking to that complexity of there's a multiplicity of departments which have overlapping responsibilities, but ultimately in the ages of this, the responsibility is placed at the door of public works. That's the answer that I surprised in Africa. Me, Matiela,
thank you very much, Honorable Chair. When I look at page number 19, it shows that all provinces, the transfers were 100%, but in Northern Cape, it is 96. How did it come to be like it? Is there any method that they used in transferring the monies to the different provinces? Secondly, we used to have another project that was called Kundulashu in Limpopo, which is no longer being offered right now, and it used to assist a lot of people working on it, on those roads that are not having very high volume of traffic. So I don't know what is happening to that one. I thought it was a very good one to hire many people there. And it used also to go ahead and end up with a lot of skill transfer to the people that are working on it. Again, if you look at that page number 13, it talks about artisans development for phase two. It was, our target was 71, and we are saying we have not reached any target, 0%. What happened? Because right now we are already at 3. What is going to be happening to that target? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Your last point, Honorable Kolabane.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I was not a part of this committee, but at the time you were doing the oversight, but I'm sure the department has a full list of the recommendations of this committee, largely in terms of effective monitoring and evaluation of the progress of the programs. So what is happening in that regard? Are you providing assistance to municipalities in the planning and implementation of labor-intensive projects? Are municipalities, including EPWP and the IDPs, have you considered broadening the recycling projects at national and provincial levels? Are you considering branching out to more diverse projects? And finally, have you developed an exit strategy from the EPWP program to ensure movement into long-term employment? That's a very short summary of many of the questions that it, or many of the wishes of the committee that had already been handed to the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll avail the opportunity to Honorable Matebe, and then by way of the only power vested in chairperson, I'll suggest that we have a tea break, and then it also gives the department an opportunity to marshal responses and rejoin to the comments and questions posted. Mutomkedi, Mayor Matebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the department and their presentation. I just got a concern.
Kindly adjust the microphone or go closer to it. Right now, the mic sounds very
now
tired.
Now you're here. I'm head now. Okay, thank you. I think my concern is EPWP as a critical program in South Africa, in the South African citizens, which are facing more unemployment, youth, women, and men, as colleagues said. I'm covered about some of the questions I would like to highlight. My special question of training, NSF training, that the EPWP receiving funding from the Department of Higher Education and Training through National Skills Group, National Skills Fund. But when you look page 30, in terms of training, education skills, you can just find out that there's a lot of gaps. Training program cost causes only 22,000 is in achieved. Is it because of the budget or what? Maybe there's a problem which are facing as a department, I don't know. And again, I'm just concerned, my concern also is question of work opportunity. They said 541,776. Where did they get the number? Where are these people? Because apparently now when you go around, it seems as if this EPWP is no longer existing when you go around, especially in municipalities where I come from. If really we need to ask, we wanted to know who's responsible for municipalities, who's running this program. Maybe we can assist on that. The last one is question of ID. I heard EPC Minister mentioning ID, that the people they should show the ID when they're on the program. I don't know whether I heard correct. But my question is that these people are working part-time or full-time? If it is a full-time, who is responsible for them? Because I'm told South Africa, they don't have enough funds to pay those people. Just want to start doing this. Thank you.
Good folks. Can we have tea for until 22?